From the LiveX studios in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I'm coming to you from my home in New York City. Corey joins
from
us
the LiveX studio.
Oh, and there we go again. Oh, wow. Hey, that's why it's live, people. That's why it's live. Corey's in Green Bay, and the person who pressed that button is in Green Bay. Who knows what else might pop up. Corey, are we ready to talk some Packers?
Today, we'll rejoice in the fact that the Bears still suck. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Aaron Rodgers declaring ownership.
We got the bad. We got
Robert Tonyan, the blocking, not up to snuff.
We got the ugly. We got
the officiating. I think there's a 5-yard call being adjudicated still as we sit here days later. Holy cow. I've never seen a group have to talk out every mundane call for an hour and a half prior to making said call. Banky, how you doing, buddy?
What's up? Oh, let me get my touchdown squares.
I like those touchdown squares,
touchdown
bud.
Touchdown squares give me life. They give me life.
They do.
Indeed. They give me life. What's going on? Bears, they're terrible.
Bears, you know, they still suck.
I thought they were supposed to be good. They have a good defense.
What happened, Nagler? But, you know, they have a rookie quarterback who wasn't ready for prime time. Clearly, especially when matched up against Aaron Charles Rodgers. We're not going to belabor the I still own you bit, but I will say it was pretty fucking awesome. You know, by Wednesday, it's been talked about. Everybody knows about it. It's been rehashed and spoken about and dissected. So, you know, it was awesome. But we've got other things we can talk about, Corey, namely the hotness. Are you ready?
The hotness.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I love that. Come on now. That's some hotness.
I love the
right
music
there.
Just like completely cuts just out. It's like, died. Oh, no more music.
No more. We're done.
Paige is like, nope, sorry.
Paige is not having it tonight. She is keeping us on our toes. That's no doubt. Okay, wait. So, like I said, Aaron Rodgers, it's all anyone's talking about. There were lots of other things in that game that were hot.
Yes, there were.
There was a huge run by A.J. Dillon, which we featured on Carry the G with A.J. Dillon last night. So I wanted to highlight something on the defensive side of the ball that was undoubtedly hot. Let's take a look at Kenny Clark. You talk about the hotness here. Look at this gentleman here. Getting hands to the face, sir. Didn't get that called. But look at Kenny shedding the block, getting behind the sticks, and getting to the quarterback. I mean, Corey, this is the definition of the hotness. Come on now. You got to love that.
True story.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Oh, I love
drinking?
It.
Okay, I'm drinking.
Oh, you damn right I'm drinking, son. Are you kidding me? This is a prime time edition of Packer Transplants Live. This is going back. This is like when I used to go to Inwood back in the day, and we would sit there and kind of cobble together a show. So
I miss my New York mug.
Not much has changed.
I'm going to say I do miss my New York mug. Last week I had this mug. Doesn't really do it like the other one.
You know, Corey, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. There are no interstate laws that prohibit you from bringing the mug with you between states.
Yeah, I feel like that mug deserves to be in New York. It's spent a lot of time there, and you know, I don't want to transplant it. You know, it's a transplant.
I feel you.
So you have to stay.
Yeah, so that's something. You know, this isn't in the script. Obviously, we're already way off. But somebody brought this up the other day, and I thought, you know, that's an interesting point. Do we have to change the name of this show? Because you are no longer a transplant, sir. You live in Green Bay, literally across the street from the stadium.
True story.
So now do we have to change it to Packer Transplant?
I don't think so, because here's the thing. I've been talking to a lot of longtime Green Bay residents lately that have lived here mm-hmm. their whole lives. And, you know, there's something that's funny. Like, a lot of people ask me, like, do I think the word cheesehead is derogatory? Or, you know, like, a lot of people in Green Bay and in Wisconsin, they don't like the word cheesehead. You know, because it has a mockery or like somebody's bullying them tone kind of thing to it. And I'm like, embrace the mascot, because it's like, cool, cheese is cool, food is cool. Nobody's, you know, nobody doesn't like cheese, even people like me that are lactose intolerant. But, you know, I ate some 7-year-old cheddar the other night, and I was loving life. So I love the word cheesehead, and I think we should keep that, because how I learned that was by moving away from Wisconsin made me realize how much I love Wisconsin. And I actually saw this. Shout out to there's a TikTok, Charlie Barron's wife, Alex. She has this TikTok with another Wisconsin person, and they go like, when you're in your 20s versus when you're in your 30s in Wisconsin. Oh, and it's funny because the person in their 20s is like, I can't wait to get out of Wisconsin. And then the person in their 30s is like, I can't wait to get back home. So it's just... You know, we were transplants, and I was a transplant more of my life than I've been a native, but I do enjoy being a native. So there's that.
That's very true. All right. Time to eat your vegetables. Time to get to the Packers news, Corey, because there's a bunch of it.
There's some cool news, though. There's some pretty cool news.
There's some good news. Some good news. Leading with, of course, number one, David Bakhtiari back at practice off the PUP. They have 21-day window of which to activate him. I've gotten asked already a bunch about when I think they'll activate him. I'll be shocked if it's this week. No, I would go close to saying no chance this Sunday.
Okay.
And I would not be surprised if they waited until after the Arizona game, because then they've got essentially a mini bye, and then, you know, they've got another full week, and then they're at Kansas City. And I would suspect that's when they would do it. So... that's just guesswork on my part, but it's just awesome to have Bakhtiari back on the practice.
Well, you know, he can't play until they throw him a parade, according to Aaron Rodgers. That's what he wants. So I think they should give it to him.
Definitely.
Somebody told me that. So I think
Would you volunteer? You volunteer as parade master?
I'll sponsor a float on the David Bakhtiari parade. I'll tell you that right now.
Amen to that.
100%.
You can go right down Lombardi Avenue.
Time on it.
And when he, down, he can turn to you and go,
"Yep,
what's up, buddy?" Or whatever he yelled that one time when he drove by. It'll be fun. Yep. I like it.
It'll be great.
Next
he
up.
Be, and you know, Aaron Rodgers with his golf cart can actually like tow him, you know? It'll be nice.
Oh, my gosh. Which apparently Aaron had a bit of a vicious standoff with a woman on Oneida today, apparently.
Oh, really?
Trying to cross from practice back to the facility. I don't know. Go watch his presser, because he talked about it a little bit. Or maybe it wasn't live.
Oh, there
know,
was a
it was on.
There was a Karen on Oneida?
Apparently.
Surprising.
He said she gave him a dirty look, a very stern look, apparently, while he was trying to cross the street. Anyway.
I mean, technically,
back on script,
it's illegal.
Thank you.
So there's that.
Right. The Packers are signing a pass rusher, Corey. Whitney Mercilus, formerly of the Houston Texans. Reportedly, the Texans were trying to trade him, couldn't find any takers, and he is going to be signing with the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, Matt was asked about it today. Coach LaFleur could not comment on it because nothing's official yet. Packers, as they are wont to do, will never say anything publicly until everything's signed and the guy takes his physical. So once he's in the building and physical is passed, and I'm sure Matt will address it. But, I mean, for a team that is losing players left and right on defense, it's nice. And also, what was interesting is to hear Rob Domofsky, or see in print, Rob Domofsky report that Mercilus apparently turned down more money from other teams to go play in Green Bay. Come on now. Come win a ring, kid. That's what I'm talking about. I like that action.
Of
course, the reason they need to go out and sign a pass rusher is because of the next news item, which is Preston Smith, Darnell Savage, and Josh Myers all did not practice today. Preston Smith obviously being the correlation here. We're already down Zadarius. Now you've got Preston dealing with an oblique injury. You got to augment your outside backer spot, and this is some perfect timing for the Packers to get Mercilus to kind of just drop in their lap. And then obviously Darnell dealing with a concussion, not a great sign that he's still in the protocol, but we'll see what happens throughout the week. And Josh Myers, as Coach indicated, will probably be out for a number of weeks. So we'll see how that shakes out going forward. And then the final bit of news is Kevin King was back at practice today after missing Sunday's game against the Bears with a shoulder injury that he suffered against the Bengals. He is back on the practice field in a limited capacity. We'll see if that progresses throughout the week. That would certainly, and I know how some people feel about Kevin King, But it would be nice to have a veteran corner who knows your scheme and system and has tons of reps as a starter in the league out there rather than not. So hopefully Kevin progresses as the week goes on and he's ready to go. But
want to give
Kane,
a little
back in practice.
Want to give a little shout out to a couple of people here. I want to read the men I most attribute to us beating the Bears. That would be Lucas Patrick, John Runyon, or Royce Newman, Yash Neiman, Billy Turner, who apparently needs to be inducted into the Pro Bowl this season, according to QB1, and one Elton Jenkins. I just want to say, I'm going to give a shout out to those men, because without them, we wouldn't have had, we wouldn't be 5-1. So
the offensive line is what you're saying.
What happened?
Okay, very good, very good. No, you're right. I mean, you need the O-line to move people, open up those holes for AJ to gash him. And
I thought it was very interesting. I just thought it was very interesting that QB1 thought that Billy Turner should be inducted. That he called Billy Turner a master craftsman, which I was like, wow, that's you know, I haven't watched as much tape as you, but that's high praise coming from QB1 for where Billy Turner is in his career right now, which is, you know, he's there and we get D back, get that parade going. I'm ready. I'm ready for an offensive lineman parade. I'm here for it, Nagler. I'm sorry.
I love it. And what's interesting about Billy is that, I mean, he's so good on the right side. You know, he worked for them in a pinch last year at left tackle, but it is nice to see him not having to bounce around the way he did last season. You know, and that's obviously due to some of the depth that's been built up, whether it is having Elton being able to slide out to left tackle or have Yash come off the bench. Billy's been able to concentrate on just playing right tackle. And I think it's helping, as Aaron indicated. No doubt the man is kind of underappreciated in the sense of there have been so many moving parts. We've talked about everyone who's kind of been in and out of the lineup and how they've fared. Obviously, with Yash getting a lot of press because of the fact that he was so inexperienced when he was getting those starts, the attention's going to go there. But obviously, Aaron's right in the sense that Billy has been just locked down, stalwart. He had a phenomenal game against TJ Watt a couple weeks ago. One of the best pass rushers in the game. So, yeah, no doubt, underappreciated. And I'm with Rodgers in the sense of he absolutely should get Pro Bowl love. The tough part is, you know, it is about name recognition. Name. And once guys are on the Pro
right?
Bowl roster, they often just get re-voted in, whether they deserve it or not. Yep. Plus, you have to think it'll be interesting to see if David plays the second half of the season at the high level we're accustomed to. There's a good chance he makes the Pro Bowl. And I would be very surprised if the Packers had two Pro Bowl tackles, but you never know. It's a popularity contest anyway. We all know that.
Yep.
Moving on down to the offense. Speaking of the offensive line and the offensive side of the ball, talk about some curious openers. And I don't want to belabor this too much because I think everybody's been listening to Daily and knows where I kind of go with this every time I talk about it. But the first quarter of that game was so odd to me. And you know, I think it was reflective in my question to Matt about the empty sets, which, you know, yes, they were very successful at times as the game went along when they used empty as a kind of, you know, something to throw into the mix rather than what I saw in the first quarter, both in empty and just spread formations and trying to like spread the ball out against that front and against that defense. And you saw how what lack of success they had. And then they, you know, changed up a little bit, started running it a little bit more, and lo and behold, things started opening up. And I just didn't understand the approach. Now, I know they will undoubtedly point to, you know, look at all the production we got out of empty and the spread and et cetera. And I don't discount that for a second. But all of that happened, that production happened once they started, we got to run the ball. We got to do some condensed stuff. We got to get guys involved. It's just weird to me. I don't know. I don't have an answer, obviously, because no one's ever going to talk to me about it. But, I don't know. The first quarter.
I just wonder. It's a hard watch. We've talked about their ability to self scout, and clearly, like, they're two pretty smart dudes. You know, three really.
Yeah, well, four. Hackett, four really.
QB1 and you know,
Luke Getsy and Matt. And,
but here's the thing. I wonder, and this is a side take, right? I wonder if this empty set is a feature, not a bug. And I say that in the same way that you think about play action, right? and you've said it yourself, you don't need to run for play action to work. You need the threat of the run, right?
Yes.
So I wonder if there's a little bit of, you know, checkers, 4D chess mentality, 4D chess really, where it's like, hey, if I run these empties on you and just disrespect the hell out of you and I make you afraid of Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to do the reverse of what, you know, meat tenderizing a line is going to do. And I don't know that that works in theory, but you just got to wonder if it's like the threat of Aaron Rodgers at empty is part of the equation.
It's possible. It's definitely possible. And, you know, the idea of being able to pick your poison if you're QB1 and being able to go, well, I know I've got these deep sets, but I've also got guys on the
I have five options.
I'm going to try and, like, you know, make you keep guessing. And I think I'd buy that a little bit more if they didn't try and force it to Devontae so much, but who knows, man.
Here's the thing, though, about forcing it to Devontae, right? It's like, you look at Devontae's stats, he is the number one wide receiver in the NFL right now, and it's not close as far as yardage goes right now. And you got to get him the ball. You just got to. You have to do that. And so of all the players that we quote-unquote force it to, I think he is the one that it just makes the most sense. You can't not do it. Now, not at the detriment of getting an interception, but, you know.
No, of course, which we saw in Cincinnati. But to me, it's not just, of course you want to get the ball to Devontae. I'm not saying don't get it to Devontae. But I am saying he is the number one option on so many plays, because that's always the kind of pushback when you talk about this with a lot of fans and probably some people inside the building. It's like, well, you know, he's the number one guy, he's the number one option. Of course Aaron's going to throw it there. Well, then you turn around and go, oh, why isn't Robert Tonyan producing? Why isn't Lazard having, or Cobb or whatever? Well, because they're never, ever drawing up plays for these guys. And I understand everyone's got a role.
Or they're not the hot read. There might be in two and three, but they're not. Yeah, they're not the number one.
But Lazard finally got a little bit of action on Sunday against the Bears, and that's awesome. But I just think you keep teams a little bit more unbalanced defensively if you're doing it that way, rather than, well, Devontae is so good, we're just going to, for, you know, every single number one read is going to be him again and again and again and again. And teams are obviously going to roll to him. No one's really ever going to stop him. But, you know, you do become a little bit less dynamic. And I think we've seen that throughout the entirety of this season. I don't think anybody can deny that. You know, this offense is nowhere near as efficient as it was last year. And I think that
is not
the reason, but it is a major contributor.
You're 100% right. You look across the board, and you look across the board on receiving, throwing, passing. We are just stuck in the middle of the road, and I do think it's a little bit of that. And I think the second piece, which I really got excited, I know everybody saw about the quarterback sneak, because freaking Nagler set me up for this. Okay, so Nagler literally like four watch parties ago, he was like, "Oh, they don't run that anymore because of QB1, right?" So I loved watching QB1 today. I love the quarterback sneak, right? Because it is an egalitarian play. If Bart Starr can run the quarterback sneak, you can run the quarterback sneak. There is no one above the law, and there is no one, not one single freaking player in the NFL above the ability to run the quarterback sneak. I'm sorry. It's like a thing. And I love the fact that David Bakhtiari told Aaron Rodgers that he sucked at the quarterback sneak, which is why they ran the quarterback sneak. So Nagler said they wouldn't do it. I love that they did it. I love they got a first down. I know I was
only took them a month, but they finally did it.
But that's like the first time they've won run in a while. But to your point, I think that
for a very long time, it's been
really
forever.
Long time, like years. Yes. I gotta look back. Yeah, I was gonna do some stat work there, Nagler, but I ran out of time. But to my point, I did have a point before, which is, you know, it goes to this in rhythm, Rodgers and his the fundamentals of, you know, going to checkdowns, throwing to Aaron Jones, throwing the easy things where he almost gets in his head on the complexity. I think that's where the other 50% of the offense is missing right now, right? You saw a little bit of that in the second half of that game. Yeah. You saw
The third down, got to have it play where they released the back out of the backfield. And you called it. You were like, every team that has the quote-unquote Shanahan offense has this play in it. And it's been a very long time since we've seen them run it. And they ran it perfectly. It was like free 8 yards or something on third and short.
Yeah.
Like, just free. Yes, get just more free of those. Like, It's rather than this.
It's okay. It's okay if it's like an easy thing. It's okay if it's like, oh, quote unquote, it doesn't matter. We're not in the 90s anymore. Like, it doesn't matter how you get there. If you have to sell out to get there, just get there. And, you know, dumping off to Aaron Jones is not a sin. Like, it's just not a sin. Like, I just, I wish we were in this mentality where dumping off to Dylan and Jones and Tonyan and just anybody who's right in front of you is going to be a much better option than anything else.
And to be fair, on Aaron Jones' touchdown, that's exactly what happened. You know, Rodgers is looking right. You know, his first and second options are both covered, so he comes back to the check down. I mean, that's good. That's what we. That's exactly what we're talking about. And I'm with you. I just – and I probably would push it, too. I wish that was a little bit more – there was more design like that, like to the backs in that regard. But to your point, yeah, that's exactly why that touchdown occurs because, okay, covered, covered, hit the check down and let Aaron Jones go to work. Which I love. I'm down with that, definitely. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, friend of show, there's been a lot of chatter on the old Twitter.com this week about his deep ball accuracy or lack thereof. I know there's all sorts of stats and analytics talking about how he's missed this, and you saw this Sunday he missed Alan Lazard on a deep throw, and he knew it the second it happened. They cut the camera to Aaron, and he's frustrated. He knows what throws he's missing. And it's just fascinating to me, and I know Ryan Wood asked both Coach and Rodgers about this today, and both of them, predictably, were not, you know, ready to engage, and Rodgers, you know, was, I'm not worried, whatever. I'm here to tell you, of course they're not worried. This will even out. And yes, some of it is MVS being there. Some of it is he's just missing throws long a couple of times. But it's still Aaron fucking Rodgers. Like, this thing, I always think about training camp, right? When we're all lined up, when they're doing the net drill, and Rodgers hits one in the net, and everyone goes insane. Everyone clips the video, and it goes crazy on social media. And it's like, oh my God, your quarterback could never, or he's amazing, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, what no one remembers is that there were literally 20 throws before that missed the net. We only ever clip for social the one that goes in.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many things that go into it. This idea that suddenly he's forgotten how to throw the deep ball.
No.
I don't buy that for a second.
And I know you're not coming to me for stats, but here's one I can pull out for you.
I heard stats are fifth for losers. The head coach of the Green Bay Packers said that.
Oh, I agree with that sentiment, but I'm going to say just something to back that up where it's like, I think where people are mistaking is it's not that he's lost the deep ball. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he's number two or number three, really five or six with how many over 40 throws he's completed. Right. So I believe he's over 40 yard throws.
Completed. That he's hit on.
He's completed, I believe, five or six, and it puts him at like fifth or sixth, but tied for second, right? So overall, he's still statistically in the NFL throwing the deep ball very well, but he does have more attempts than in previous years, right? So
he's going for it more, but
to your point, like, is it a testament of he's going for it more and he's not as good at it, or is it just he's going for it more? And
see,
like
that's
you said,
the thing.
Like,
I don't think there's anything to the idea that he's lost it or
either.
He's not going to get it back or whatever. Like, the perfect example of a play that frustrates the hell out of me, but I can also turn around and point to this as an exact example of what I'm talking about. The third down, I think it was against the Bengals, where Aaron Jones is screaming wide open on third and 10 underneath, but Rodgers is drifting to his left and guns it for Tonyan and is literally just out of reach. I mean, it's inches. Tonyan's fingertips touch the football. I mean, that's pretty on point. That's deep up the left sideline.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not like Rodgers has lost it because he only hit the fingertips instead of placing it like, you know, a ring on a pillow. You know, it's just like this idea that, oh, the accuracy is just gone. Sorry. I don't buy that like even for a second. I think over time, as the season wears on, a lot of those will start hitting and people will be like, oh, remember when we thought he had lost the deep ball? That's just my hunch. Could be all wrong. Maybe he is completely washed when it comes to throwing the ball deep in the game of the National Football League, but I highly doubt it.
And the statistics don't bear it out currently.
No. Lastly, on the offensive side of the ball, speaking of one said Bobby Tonyan, I put him in the bad this week, no question about it. He had a rough game in Chicago, and he has not been productive. I don't think much of that is due to anything he's doing when it comes to the in the passing game. But I would love to get this guy going. I would love this to be a week, especially against a front as talented as Washington's, to get him some of that kind of bunch set, release him underneath, or the patented Shanahan-style boot action off zone and then have Rodgers roll out and hit him intermediate. Don't stop with this underneath thing. You know that play where the tight end takes a step in and then, like, he's going to block and then darts back out and he's, like, on basically the line of scrimmage? Like, that, no more of that. I'm done with that play. But, oh,
I mean, I do like – I like the chipping too. The chip, the chipping out. You don't want the chip.
They got
in
other
set,
people
but you
who
want
can
the
chip
out.
You got other people who can chip. Get Tonyan going. What I'd love to see is that zone action where you do get the zone. He's in line at the front of the line, basically, but then he gets out on a route like the zone's going this way, and he's coming around here. They used to run that with Finley all the time back in the day. But like, get him intermediate. Get him going. Like, I think he's ready. They just haven't utilized him at all, other than some stuff down the seam when Rodgers has tried to hit him while he's covered. But outside of that, they've done precious little to help the kid. Just help him. Get him going. He's got all the talent in the world. He hasn't forgotten how to play. He didn't, like, lose. He wasn't like the Monstars came along and sucked his talent off. You know, like, people were acting like, oh, my God, he's completely falling off the map. Like, he knows how to play. Just give him a chance. Yeah. Help him a little bit. That's all I want to say about Tonyan. Because I think, you know, he can be a viable weapon in this offense if he's given a chance. And right now, he's not being given one, really, to be productive. That's me on the offense. You got anything else before we head to the defensive side of the ball, Mr. Banky?
No, I don't even have any defensive notes. So
no notes. Blind here. Man, you're slacking. You're slacking. well, speaking of the defense, hello. Hello, Dean Lowry.
Wow.
This man, I got to say, I have to say this into camera. Dean, I owe you an apology because at the start of the year, I said some pretty stern things about you, and I wasn't too optimistic about your ability to turn things around and have even a good season, let alone a really promising one. And right now, you are making me look stupid because, holy cow, Dean Lowry is playing extremely well. Nicholas. I can't take myself seriously when I do that. That's supposed to be the rant cam. Like, how is that a rant?
I know. Nicholas was like, I'm going rant cam on this. I got to do it.
Nicholas is dying to use it. Just like, we need to manufacture
Nicholas
a rant.
Like, I have this. I'm going to trigger it.
I'm going to use it. But I mean,
so
I own D.
Yeah,
Lowry.
I mean, it's true. It's completely true. He has brought his lunch pail and he has decided to eat when he opened it up.
He has decided to whoop that lunch pail up people's heads is what he's done. Holy cow. He was so great in that game on Sunday. I loved watching him. Going back and watching the tape, I'm like, maybe it was just the highlight, right? Like, maybe that one big play. Like, but nope. He played really well. Man, and that's a couple weeks in a row now. The last 3 weeks, really. He has played at a high level. Man, egg on my face, Dean, because you're killing it, man. Keep it up. Next up, you know, it was fun. Corey, I know there are many legends in the game, many legends that have walked through the halls of 1265 Lombardi. None more so than Quentin Dunbar, who was with the Packers for all of a week on the practice squad before he got released a couple days ago. And I think the release of Quentin Dunbar, who was signed, not 7 days ago, was because of the play of Rasul Douglas, who, look, I don't think he's a great football player, but damn if he didn't play really well against the Bears. I think this is exactly what you expect when you get a guy who's going to come in, basically, you know, crash course the defense and give you quality minutes, especially after he wasn't apparently the planned starter. That was Yadam, who got pulled after one series, getting burned on that long play. Douglas comes in there, and again, it wasn't a work of art, but man, he gave you energy. He gave you physicality. Yes, he gave up some completions, but when he did, they did not keep going. Like, how many times have we seen cornerbacks with the Green Bay Packers allow receptions in front of them, and then allowed untold amounts of yak. You know, this when guys do catch the ball on him, he makes sure they stop. They're on the ground. I know he took the penalty. I have zero problems with that penalty. You know, the NFL expects him to, you know, change the laws of physics and know when the quarterback is going to slide. As long as the quarterback's upright, or even like he's just even beginning to think about sliding, you still go hit him. I'm with you, buddy. World needs ditch diggers too. Nope.
I agree with the world needs ditch diggers too, and I know we're transitioning to linebackers, but you got to give it up for the Packers defense this year. Every single person counted this defense out. We have lost our star cornerback that we basically pegged our hopes on. We've lost our star defensive end who everybody had pegged their hopes on.
Pass rusher extraordinaire, yeah.
The pass rusher extraordinaire. We still got Kenny. You know, Dean Lowry's showing up. I'm trying to think of our rookie cornerback who's actually Eric Stokes, who's actually killing it right now. Stokes is like, come to play. You just got a Preston Smith deciding that, you know, yeah, he really wants to be here. It's just, it's an incredible show of force by this Packers defense, which right now is ranked much higher than the Packers offense in the NFL, within the top 10. Depending on, you know, if you're a PFF person or an NFL person. But certainly this defense has come this season, and right now they're carrying the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers are where they are right now very much because of our our defense. I don't hate to say that part. And our punter, right?
Oh, there it is. There it is. I almost made the hotness the 83-yard punt. But I didn't want to, like, have you break out on camera. But it was hot, Corey. You got to admit. Like, we didn't – you and I, you both – you go watch Watch Party. You and I did not appreciate how awesome that punt was. Like, I was like, oh, that was good.
People were so mad at me because I was like –
But, dude, that punt was fucking amazing.
But it was a touchback,
though. He kicked it from the 6-yard line, and it went into the other end zone. That's amazing.
Yeah, but get a touchback, it's a bad grade. It's a bad grade. A touchback is a bad grade.
It's still a 63-yard net. That's an awesome punt. You are wrong, Banky.
I disagree.
That's great. You disagree and incorrect.
As soon as you get a touchback, if it was an A, it's an A-. I'm sorry.
Fine. It's an A-. It's still an awesome punt.
But here's the thing.
A-.
The only way you can – a lot of times –
better than I ever did in school. That's all I know.
That's so sad. Here's the thing. If you're trying to hit perfection like he was trying to do, right? He was trying to hit that perfect. Sometimes it goes over, so you just got to take the penalty. Tried to go all the way.
We can chase perfection. We may never attain it.
That's true. Hey, Nagler. Nagler.
Yeah.
That's very astute of you.
Oh, stop. Just stop. All right. Final thing on the defensive side of the ball. Corey alluded to it. Inside linebacker play. The inside linebacker rotation. What the fuck are they doing? What was that? What? Jalen Smith on early downs trying to stop the run? Was the tape down in Dallas not available to the Green Bay Packers defensive staff? What the hell was that? Like, I have no problem using him as a nickel or dime linebacker, and they did use him in nickel, but they used him on predominantly downs that you would expect the Chicago Bears to run on. Like, that ain't his gig, baby. He needs to be like, okay, it's dime or like quarters, and you need to like set him. Okay, you're either doing one of two things. You're spying the quarterback because Fields is a, you know, shifty guy. He can run. Or you're blitzing the quarterback, you know, possibly dropping into coverage in certain situations. But this idea that he's going to hold up against the run magically all of a sudden, what the fuck are they doing? And playing like more snaps than Barnes and Burks playing as much as he did? Make Jalen play Burks. I did not. As curious as the openers on offense were, their usage of their inside linebackers was just as curious. And I'm like, obviously, Devondre Campbell is a godsend. Like, the fact that this guy is a Green Bay Packer is absolutely fucking incredible to me. I can't believe this
100%,
kid fell
100%.
In their lap.
It's
essentially
crazy.
In free
agency. Insane.
I mean, God bless the Cardinals for letting him go because, I mean, thank you very much. Because this guy is awesome. But
can't
outside
draft
of him,
one, but we can certainly pick
know.
One up.
Yeah, exactly. We can't find one in the draft to save our lives, but we'll find one on the street. Thanks very much. But yeah, but how they're choosing to utilize these guys last week, I don't know. I don't. It was mystifying. Anything else on the defense there, Corey? All your extensive notes that don't exist?
I said everything I needed to say on the defense.
Okay.
I did it.
Very good. Very good. Let's have a quick look at the Washington football team. The Washington football team coming to Lambeau. It's throwback weekend. It's 1950s weekend. Both of these pieces emerged from the Prackers Pro Shop. Our friends over across the street from Corey.
I'm going to wear mine on game day, but I decided to wear my transplant shirt. So
I love the transplant shirt. No doubt about it. But yes, the Packers will be donning their 1950s look. So still not too late if you're in the Green Bay area to get your stuff from the Pro Shop. Hit it up. Terry McLaurin, sorry, is dealing with a hamstring injury. And I know it was a late addition last week, the injury report. But this kid is the one bona fide threat they have on offense. And if he can't go, huzzah. We'll see. I know he did not participate for Washington today's practice. They could just be letting him rest the entire week. We'll see what happens. But that would be a huge monster break for the Packers if he's not able to go.
Who's Terry McLaurin? I don't even know who that is, Nagler.
He's a wide receiver who everyone will remind you, everyone and their mother will remind you, that the Packers took Jay Sternberger instead of Terry McLaurin in the draft.
Okay, I remember now. Okay.
Swing and a miss there.
But I only watch the Packers. The only time I will watch the Washington football team. The only time I will watch them is this Sunday, and that's it. That's all she wrote.
That's it.
And maybe
of
the
course.
Playoffs, but I doubt they'll be there. So,
yeah, they're not going to be there. But yes, he's awesome. He is awesome. He is so good. I can't express how good he is. And if he doesn't play, booyah. Next up, we have
Jair Alexander. I mean, oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah, right. Washington football team has replaced their struggling kicker. That's right. They've made a move at kicker, and they've replaced him with Chris Blewett. That's his name. His name is Blewett. He's never attempted a kick in the NFL, and his name is Blewett.
You couldn't write the Netflix special.
His name is Blewett. Blewett.
Hey, he got another one in. Nicholas is just happy he got one in. Okay.
I know.
How are you like? Hey, my last name is Blewett. I think I'm gonna get into sports.
I'm gonna be a kicker. I'm gonna try this kicking game out. Like what?
You know, if Kanye West can change his name to Yee, you can change your name.
You can change your name from Blewett
to Blewett to Got It. Made it.
Got it. Made it. Don't worry about it. Like, whatever.
Don't worry about
other
it.
Other than
got
blew it.
It. Kick
Chris,
it.
Don't worry about it. Like, that'd be fine. But Chris blew it? That's a
Chris, relax.
I just couldn't. Yeah. Chris, I got this. Like, whatever. But Chris blew it, really? I just couldn't stop laughing when I read that. That was so good. And finally, on a serious note, Ron Rivera is a coach I respect greatly. His man has done a lot in the NFL, both as a player and as a coach. And obviously, huge, humongous storyline a couple years ago is when he beat cancer. The man is amazing. But his defense is one of the most major disappointments in the NFL this year. And it's kind of mystifying because they still have an incredibly dominant, really talented defensive front. But for whatever reason, they have not been able to put it together on defense, whether it's Landon Collins getting beat. Well, we saw that against the Saints, whatever. Things have just not gelled the way they did last year. Last year, they were winning with defense. They won games because of their defense. And this year, it has just not materialized. So hopefully, Aaron Rodgers and company can continue to propagate that trend as far as, this defense ain't what it was. So hopefully, ripe for the picking there with 12 and company on offense. Got anything else, Corey, before we do it?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Hit it, Paige.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right. It's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Corey, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there are people out there that hate the Packers.
What?
They're not fans. They hate. I'm using the word hate. hate the Packers.
I think that's
kind
cute,
of adorable.
Bagler.
I just thought I found this fascinating. Now, some betting site.
There's
out
a lot
there,
to hate. You know, there's 13 reasons to hate the Packers.
No, and when you're winning all these championships, of course you're going to hate. But yeah. I found this great. I found this study that some betting company put together a look at through Twitter data regionally who are the most hated teams where. So if we could show this graphic, I absolutely adore this. Like, look at all these folks hating on the Packers, and look where they live. Mm. Like,
that's a lot of people.
Of course, it's very Midwest, obviously, for obvious reasons. As we were talking about before the show, though, Iowa? Really?
Yeah. Like, I think Iowa was like 50-50. I think Iowa was like 49 Packer fans, 49% Packer fans, and 51%, you know, Bears fans or Minnesota fans.
Probably. Most likely. Yeah,
I think we just got we got our vote split, right? Because if you're a Chicago or Minnesota fan in Iowa, you're going to hate the Packers. But if, you know, it's like it's almost a split there.
I love this. The Packers are the most hated team in six states: Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota, Iowa, North Dakota, and South Dakota. North Dakota, South Dakota. What's going on there? The Buccaneers are
also
tied with the Packers.
Also, I'm just going to split a little bit of hairs here. Upper Peninsula, there is no way on God's green earth that there are more people that hate the Packers in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan than love the Packers. Okay, I'm just going to say that out loud.
Fair. It's a fair point.
Upper Peninsula, the UP. It's one of the great unknown destinations in America, and there are a ton of Packer fans in the UK.
I just love that the Buccaneers have joined the Packers in this hate brigade, and it's like 2 years ago, no one cared about the Bucs. Like, no one cared about the Bucs enough to hate them. And now it's like, because Tom Brady's there, there's all this hate. I just love that. But I also love the only team with more states that hate them than the Bucs and Packers are the Cowboys. Because, of course. America's team,
Well, they're America's team, clearly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Next up in the blogosphere, I do want to give a shout-out. As you know, we have partnered with Milwaukee Rep, the Milwaukee Repertory Theater. They have a great new show called Dad's Season Tickets. Packers fans everywhere can save 25% off tickets for the hilarious new musical, Dad's Season Tickets. Just use the code CHEESEHEAD when you're ordering. That's CHEESEHEAD. It's playing October 29th through January 2nd at the Milwaukee Repertory Theater. Order online at milwaukeerep.com or call 414-224-9490. That's 414-224-9490. Limit 4 tickets, subject to availability, not valid on previously purchased tickets or in combination with other discounts offers. Not valid for October 31st or the last 2 weeks of the run. Discount for offer expires November 15th at 11:59 p.m. Other restrictions apply.
I'm going in November. I'm going in November.
You're going, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I gotta talk to the other and see when she wants to go. But yeah, we're gonna go.
Exactly. The other. That sounds like some
the
Netflix,
other
some the stranger others. Stranger things stuff. The other, the upside down. The
I gotta
other.
Go to the upside down and talk to the other and the other. Then we can find out when we're going to Milwaukee.
that sounds great. And if she's watching, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you have to deal with him. Good Lord. Anyway, should we talk to some fine folks on the chat there, Benke?
Yeah, I got some stuff lined up here. I think Paige is ready.
Paige, be wary. From Paige, the bottom, you know, she's got a itchy trigger finger tonight.
From the bottom to the top, we got Mark on YouTube. We got a super chat. Thanks to the super chat. Woo, prime time. Show you the money. Appreciate that. I appreciate getting shown the money. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
David Orioli. Thanks, David, for the super chat. Rodgers is to Chicago what Frank Booth is to Blue Velvet.
Wow.
Pretty good.
Okay. I'll buy
Dustin it. Dustin Shewitt. 5-1 despite a lot of key players missing and plenty of sloppy play. Feels awesome. When this team gets healthy and starts firing on all cylinders, it's going to be scary. All gas, no fucking break. Bajorquez weapon. Appreciate you, Dustin.
Now there's a t-shirt. Horquez
weapon. Horquez
weapon.
Luke Carnes, thanks for Super Chat. Boarding a plane in Nebraska to visit family. Had to listen as long as I can. Cheers, my friends. Go Pack Go. Appreciate you, Luke. When you land, I'm sure that you'll watch the remaining. I'm sure, Luke, you will watch the remaining part of Packer Trans. So then you'll see the fact that we said, hey, what's up? I hope you get home safely or get to Nebraska safely. Love Nebraska, by the way. Shout out Omaha. Overshadow Sean, Dave B, 69 Parade Float Fund.
Yeah.
We need to totally make him a float.
Dude, he deserves his
own float.
Our spreadsheet, our QuickBooks for all of the different funds we have going through Super Chats is out of control.
The fact that you said that there's a QuickBooks is cute. Dustin, thanks for Super Chat. new show name, Packer Transplant and a Replant. A retread.
That works.
A retread. Amar Desai. Woohoo. What up, fellas?
What's up, Amar?
Excited that you get to see Packer Transplant. Also, Alex Rubio. You guys finally having one of these on primetime. Appreciate you. Yeah, we'll have to look at the numbers and see. Nagler will have to decide with where this show wants to be. But where please let us know. Where does it want to live? Please let us know. Where and when you want to see it, and maybe we'll listen and maybe we'll just not pay attention. Todd Rung on Facebook. Hey, shout out to everybody on Facebook watching us. Appreciate
What's up,
you.
Facebook?
We finally figured out how to bring the comments in from Facebook, so really appreciate you guys sticking around. Scoop on NVS. I think he's back from Todd.
Unless something happened while we were live, I don't think he's back. He's still on injured reserve as of 7:30 p.m. Eastern today. But they can bring him back now whenever they want because he has basically been on IR for 3 weeks. So now that is the threshold you have to hit to be brought back. We'll see.
Bernie, so they got some Facebook people. We're going to do some Facebooks. Bernie Clarkowski, if Aaron was to stay, how many years could he play at a high level?
Three or four, I think.
Good question.
Three or four more. I would suspect Rodgers is going to keep doing what he's doing for at least four. Hell, maybe five. I don't know. He's Aaron Rodgers. You see him running around. You see him making plays. I mean, yeah, especially if he's in Green Bay or if he's not in Green Bay. If he goes someplace with a good offensive line, he'll play for at least four, maybe 5 years, I would suspect.
Joan Henderson Gaither, thanks for your support on Facebook.
Hey, Joan, how are you?
Hey, Nags, I'm late to the party, but happy I didn't miss it. A bunch of emojis, including a cheese emoji.
A lot of emojis. Thank you, Joan. Thanks, Joan. Thank you so much.
Todd, again, on Facebook, get TJ Slayton. I did this because I'm a TJ Slayton fanboy. Get TJ Slayton going. We'll have something. I completely agree with you, Todd.
Yeah, totally and then, agree. He's close.
We got on YouTube, we got one Luke Laga. You guys make
Luke
the weekends
Laga?
Great. Who's Luke Laga? Never heard of him. Psych.
Luke Laga.
Danny Love Miller on Facebook. Go Pack Go. Love you guys. Thanks, Danny. Appreciate you. Josh Greathouse on Facebook. First show, longtime podcast listener. Go Pack Go. Thanks for showing
Thank
up.
Thank you,
for
Josh.
The live.
Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Appreciate that. Our friend Matt Mamba on YouTube, has anyone started a fund to hire an accountant to handle all the different funds? No, that hasn't happened yet, Matt, but we are looking forward to that
accountant,
day. When
accountant
it comes.
Fund.
The accountant fund to manage the funds. And then last but not
so
least, thanks for the super chat, Ken Hansen. Need a new T-shirt. Corey Benke loves Corey Bajorquez. Yes, I do. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, can you do that again? Can you do that one more time?
Horquez. Now we're talking. Let's go. Oh, and then last but not least, we got Draco 51983. Thanks for the super chat. What's up, guys? Go Pack Go. And you know what? That's a good
way
to end
the
show,
Nagler.
You know what I'm talking about?
More needs to be said. Wait. We're not done yet.
Oh yeah, that's right.
We need to give a shout out.
A new feature too on our new.
We need to shout out our Patreon members because look, guys, likes are great. Subscribing to the channel is a must, but the Patreon folks, you guys are the ones that are like the lifeblood of Cheesehead TV. We can't thank you enough for your support. We love that you guys show up for happy hour, especially when I move it at the last minute with a warning, as we did this week. We had it on Monday, obviously, because AJ wanted Tuesday for Carry the G. But really, you guys, the Patreon members are the lifeblood of Cheesehead TV. We love you guys. Thank you so much for the support. We hear from people all the time, like literally every day on Patreon, just to tell us like, oh, I'm in whatever country or I'm in like a state really far removed or whatever. And it's always really about connecting. And that's what we want to do. That's what we're all about. Connecting Packers fans, getting you closer to the team, making you feel connected, not just to the team, but to other fans. That's Lord knows that's why the whole reason Corey and I started doing this 10 plus years ago. So if you want to help support that endeavor, patreon.com/cheeseheadtv. All we ask is $5 a month. It goes to support everything we do, not just the website, not just the videos, not just the social side, everything. And like I said, it really is the lifeblood of Cheesehead TV. We cannot thank you guys enough. It really means the world to us. Corey, you got anything else before we head out for the evening?
No, I'm good. I'm ready for this game. I'm ready for this weekend. I'm so excited. It's going to be so awesome.
The only noon game at Lambeau this year. That's crazy.
8 a.m. Houses Unite, Bloody Mary. 8 a.m. Houses Unite, Bloody Mary or Old Fashioned. 8 a.m., baby. That's when everybody, that's when
you have. You can't say that. You got to tell people what that means. Houses Unite. What is that? I know
what
it is.
The audience does. That's when all the houses get together because they all have their own shit to do. So all of the houses, they unite for a Bloody Mary or an Old Fashioned at 8 a.m. And then they go around their ways. And then at 9 a.m., all the people show up. And then you're on with your day. You're into your game. You're into your thing. It's a beautiful thing. You only get 8 of them. You only get 8 people. 8 home games every year. That's it.
I love it.
Gotta not take them for granted. Don't take life for granted. It only comes once in a while. So you gotta, you know.
Lap it up. Carpe diem. I love it.
Love it.
That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. It really does mean the world to us. Thank you so much for Corey, myself, and everyone at Cheesehead TV. Keep carrying the G wherever you are. Thank you so much. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
What do we like to do? Put the best what out there. Come on, Nagler, help me out. Best five, all right? Best five.